I'd invite you to turn with me a moment to consider in Paul's great letter to the Colossians, a passage in which it's actually a poem. It might even be, some say, a song that Paul just adopted or used in this letter, a song that was perhaps already current in the early church. He probably wrote this letter to the Colossians somewhere around 58 to 60, somewhere in that region. So if you think about it, if Jesus was crucified certainly around 30, this is only 30 years at most afterward. So already there could have been a song in praise of the incarnate Jesus. We find here that Jesus is the image, in the 15th verse I read, of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Here ends the reading of God's holy word for us this morning. Thanks be to God. To understand why Paul launches into writing this beautiful poem in praise of Christ, we've got to take a moment to look back at what he prayed for and among the Colossian Christians just before. He has said how he heard in the fourth verse of their faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that they had for all the saints, because that hope that was laid up for them in heaven. Would that that could be said of every church that ever existed, that their faith in Christ Jesus and the love that they had for everyone in that particular church was because of the hope that they had laid up for them together. You know, that's why, you know, we pass the peace with each other. Someone said to me recently that they'd like to at least once a month have a fellowship time out in the narthex, just so that we could continue and more intimately passing the peace with each other. I think that's a great idea. That's why Bible studies, you know, our Sunday school, or the one that Lenny leads, or other small group experiences. That's why they're so important. The women's group, let me not leave that out, are so important because they are ways for us to delve further into our lives together. The love that we have for all the saints. That's you and I together. The saints of at least this church. You know, my grandson is next week. Grandson I had living with us caused a lot of trouble. But I wish I could be at the church in Schuylkill Haven where he's living now with my brother, because he's going to share. Please listen to this. My brother told me last night he's going to share his testimony about coming to the Lord. Now, you know, he's got room to grow. We all do. But he's made that step of giving his life to this Lord Jesus, whose love is so vast, whose power was the creative power, the firstborn over all creations, and through whom everything that is was created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him. And that same incomparable, unfathomable love has drawn him to the cross and draws us every day to the cross anew. I love how Luther in his church, the baptistry was in the back, and every day he entered it, would place his hand in the water and dip it to his forehead, recalling that this is a new day for me to walk in. This is a new day for you to walk in the love of one who created all things. Also, just a note in this passage, something that I find really remarkable. It says in this passage that he is the image of the invisible God. It's worth considering this word for a moment, the image. The word that's used there is icon in the Greek. In the Orthodox tradition, they still have icons. This is the icon of Christ the teacher. You see, he has a scripture in his hand. Christ the teacher. For Greek Orthodox believers, it's to draw them to the Christ himself. In fact, in the Orthodox tradition, they will bear the icon into the sanctuary for the beginning of their worship. Now, it is not in the Orthodox tradition Christ himself. It is not to be worshipped either. But it is to draw one's memory into the recollection of what Jesus did. Those icons of Christ upon the cross, of what Jesus did. You know, perhaps you have a picture in your picture collection. Robin spent hours this coming up through the fall, And now we just gave the DVD collection. It's a set of DVDs like that thick. She went through all our videos when the kids were little and put them together, transferring them from, not 8-track tape, but from the old tapes that we had of them, put them on CDs and gave them to all our children. I didn't watch them all while they were being prepared, but as I'd come in from the outside, I'd see, and I'd sit down, get drawn into them, and sometimes they'd just draw me to tears. These memories of our little curly-headed John, now in the Navy, of our kids at camps that we went camping in, and jumping off the rocks together into the creeks. This one here is a picture I keep in my office of Robin, where we were in the North Cascades National Park. I thought it would be a great idea to take a month-old baby Phoebe, our firstborn, into the wilderness. Robin has a totally different perspective on this experience, but I thought, wow, now's the last time we'll be able to do something like this. Let's do it. But I keep it because it reminds me of two things. The time I had learning how to preach with a small little group who would gather in the park and lead a service. And also of the hardship. It almost reminds me of those pictures of the Depression. There was hardship during this time. It's not the actual thing, is it? This picture. But it carries memories when I look at it of all the things during those few months we were there. And that's all it was a few months. But so much is in a picture. What are your pictures that you have? I'll tell you what. Anybody want to share about a picture that's yours that means so much? Oh, that's great. Your pop-up holding you as a baby. The icon is not the thing itself. It's not Jesus himself. But it points to Jesus. But in this case, where it says in the scripture, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That Greek word icon means that he is the thing itself, born of the Virgin Mary. He who lived among us taught, and he died for us. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And moreover, this is another thing. You know, if you explain a joke, it really loses its ability to be too funny. Poems are sort of like that, if you explain it too much. But there's just a few more things I'd lift out of this. He is the head of the body, is the second. Not only is he the icon, the very image of God himself that we behold, but he is also the head of our church. the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. For God was pleased to have all things, all His fullness dwell in Him. There's a special word that's used there, the pleroma. It is in the Greek. The pleroma. It means the fullness of all that God is and ever was there upon the cross, put upon the tree by sinners just as you and me. There, He made peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once we were alienated from God, we're enemies in our minds because of evil behavior. But now, He's reconciled us through that physical body. Now, there's a reason why Paul actually identified this physical body. Because there were some who were saying, no, it's only a figment of who He was. Christ, as God, could not have been put upon a tree. Could not have been killed as you and I could be. And so it is that Paul specifically says that it was His physical body placed there. Not an imaginary thing, but definitely He died for you and for me to present us holy in His sight, without blemish. And because of that, free from accusation. It's not our work, but Christ's work that causes us to be free. And so we must continue in our faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope of the gospel. As we celebrate Christmas, the central meaning is that God in Christ became flesh. And that flesh, that man, marched on through the time of His life with the mission to be crucified for you and for me. And because He did, we live. And so Paul writes to these, the Colossian Christians, as to us, this prayer. We pray this so that you, in the 10th verse, may live your life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. Heavenly Father, we pray. Truly pray that all our life from henceforth might be lived in a manner worthy of You. That as You see us walk, You might smile. And at the last say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my kingdom. Amen.